Hi, everyone. My name is Brian. I'm the youth and young adult pastor here, and I'm giving the message today. So let's all go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Some of you may not need to even flip to it because you already know it, but I'm just going to wait a little bit. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You guys are all there? All right, I'm going to read it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Amen. Now, as a kid, this was one of my memory verses. How many of you guys memorized this verse? Raise your hand. Oh, most of you guys. Very familiar with it, right? All right, so I grew up memorizing this. And back then, I thought that it meant you should blindly trust God and not use common sense, which isn't really what it's saying, right? But this is how a little kid understood it. If I blindly follow, then everything will fall into place and my life will be better for doing that. There will be no hardships, and life will be simple. Now, fast forward to the present, and life isn't simple, but complicated. My mother recently called me and asked me to translate her medical report because she couldn't understand English very well. And so I was looking at it, began to think, how am I going to take care of my mother in the future? Last week, I just preached to the youth one of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. And I said one of the ways to honor them is to take care of them, especially when they're old and they can no longer take care of themselves. And I was thinking about this, like, how am I going to take care of my mother in the future? It's not that I don't want to take care of her. It's just that I'm thinking, how am I going to get the resources? Financial me. What am I going to do? God, what should I do? I mean, my mother, growing up, she was a single parent. She had three jobs. She worked 7 days a week. She worked as a seamstress 40 hours a week. And then she was a choir conductor for church. So she worked on the weekends. And then every night, she was a custodian, a janitor. And she sacrificed so much for us. And now whenever I go to her house, I feel sad because, you know, it reminds me of all the sacrifices she made. And now there's three bedrooms in that house. Two of them are empty, two rooms. My brother and I moved out. She works so hard. And it's only fair that I take care of her, right? When she can't take care of herself anymore. It's like, God, what am I going to do? And not just that, but what about my father? I have a complicated relationship with my father. How can I honor my parents? So what should I do, Lord? Life isn't simple. For some of you, you're wondering, what's God's will for my life? What kind of career should I pursue? Am I going to get married? For a while, I questioned that too when I was at the other church. Because all I did was hang out with junior high students. Even on my day off, I hung out with them. We had a sleepover at my house and everything. It's like, when am I going to get married? Or it could be that you're married, but you're struggling. And you don't know what to do. Or maybe you got a call from your doctor and it's not looking good. Life is messy. Now, Proverbs is a wisdom literature that teaches us to live the good and blessed life. I'm sure every one of you here wants to live a good life, right? Who wants to live a bad life? Raise your hand. Nobody, right? Hopefully. Thank God, right? Nobody wants to live a bad life. If you desire to live a good and blessed life, read Proverbs. Now, according to this passage, the good and blessed life is a righteous life in God. The righteous, the one who is morally upright, who lives according to God's standards. The wicked, however, are opposed to it. In Proverbs, it is repeated over and over again, and it makes a contrast between the righteous and the wicked. Proverbs 11, 18 to 19 says this: "The wicked man earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. The truly righteous man attains life, but he who pursues evil goes to his death." So a righteous man loves life, but the evil, the wicked man, holding on to death. Also, Proverbs says that righteousness is of great value and far outweighs wealth. The good and blessed life is a righteous life in God. But how does one live a righteous life? And is it by living by principle? Well, we're going to go to Scripture. We just read, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him." Scripture says to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. It does not say trust in the process, like the 76ers basketball team. It doesn't say trust in the religious system or trust in a method, but our trust is in the Lord, who is a free will person with desire. It's about relationship with God. That's what this is about. It's about relationship. I love the song that we just sang, by the way. It says we're here to meet you, and we won't leave until we do. It's about relationship, and it's about the presence of God. About a deep, committed relationship with God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's a strong relational element to the word heart, isn't there? He wants us to give all of our hearts. God wants it all. He desires us to surrender our lives to God. Surrendering means to go beyond just trusting in the religious system or coming to church on Sundays or getting involved in community service, although those are good things. And it goes beyond just going on a mission trip for, you know, once a year. It's a loving relationship that involves all of you. It extends beyond church life. That's why in verse 6, it says, "Acknowledge him in all your ways." So you trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and you acknowledge him in all of your ways. With all of your heart, in all of your ways. This passage goes against what is the fastest growing religious thought in America right now. It's called moralistic therapeutic deism. How many of you guys heard of that before? Moralistic therapeutic deism. According to the Barna survey, many teens and young people who identify themselves as Christians, even those who consider themselves Christians, have this belief. And it's leaving them feeling spiritually empty and hollow inside. It's the idea that God just wants everybody to be nice. And good works makes you feel good about yourself. Now, I get this from youth a lot as well. Whenever I ask, you know, why do you want to do this? Why community service? Why mission trip? You know, many will say, because you feel good when you help other people. And that's good, but if that becomes the main thing, it's an issue. This approach to spirituality believes that God's concern for us, his primary concern for us, is to be happy in life. That's what moralistic therapeutic deism is. God wants us to be nice, and he wants us to be happy. But he is not really involved in human affairs. Unless your life is a mess and you're in crisis. So this is a belief that God should bless you with what you desire as long as you do good works. This is a very self-centered approach to spirituality. It nullifies it. It empties the message and the power of the cross. And it's more about helping yourself through good works. It's anti-gospel because it overlooks sin. It's filled with empty promises. And it removes God from having deep relationship with us. Now, Proverbs says, acknowledge him in all of your ways. But moralistic therapeutic deism says, God is remote and he doesn't really care for relationship. He's only there when I really need guidance. But it doesn't work this way. There's this book that I read. It's called What is God's Will for My Life by John Ortberg. He said this, I will never experience guidance from God if my main goal with God is to get guidance. I'm going to read that again. I will never experience guidance from God if my main goal with God is to get guidance. And it goes on. It says, a full relationship with God will include intimacy, confession, worship, gratitude, learning, receiving encouragement, and surrender. These are all elements needed for me to become the kind of person God can use to achieve his good and great will. The critical question when it comes to guidance is not, is God willing to give guidance? It's, am I becoming the kind of person it makes sense for God to give guidance to? So if you're only seeking guidance from the Lord, you're missing out on relationship with God. God wants us to trust in him with all of our hearts, to acknowledge him in all of our ways. I've had people who always seeking guidance from the Lord, but they always seem to get lost because that was the main goal for them. They miss out on this deep, rich relationship with God, which demands surrendering our all. He wants us to surrender all of our lives to him, our everything. It involves acknowledging God in all of our ways. We were created to dwell in God's presence and to have intimate relationship with him. It is through relationship with God that God will bring about transformation in your life, in my life. Changes us from the inside out. And God will not give guidance to someone who only seeks guidance from the Lord. And that's it. Because then we're not ready. For example, if you're selfish or greedy, you can do more harm when God tries to guide you. So it's about relationship with God. We are created by God and for God. And God desires that we trust him with all of our hearts. But you could be wondering, you know, just trust in the Lord with all your heart. How can I trust in a God if I don't hear from him? How many of you guys ever wonder about that? Like, how can I trust in him? How do I know if I'm hearing from him? Well, you have a relationship with God. It involves prayer and worship. I always teach my students to read the Bible within a context, so I want to go over this real quick. The beginning of this chapter speaks of keeping the commandments of God. And at the beginning of chapter 2, it reads this. It says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So you hear from God through one of the primary ways is through the Word of God. There needs to be communication and relationship. And this is God's love letter to us. But it's not just listening to the Word of God or sitting through Sunday service. What did I just read? It says to accept the Word and then to treasure it. It's not enough to just accept it or to hear it. You must store it in your heart. This means that understanding doesn't come just right away. It takes time. You can't just microwave the Word of God in your heart. It says here in beginning of chapter 2, you must seek it like silver or hidden treasure. How many of you made sacrifices to eat at a specific restaurant? Any foodies here? There are some places in D.C. that You can't make reservations, so you have to wait in line. And I've waited in line for an hour in the cold with my wife before. Nowadays, you can actually pay someone to wait in line for you, too. There's a service for that. I didn't know until I saw someone doing that in front of us. But what I'm saying is this, that if you value it, if you desire it, you seek after it, right? You will go after it. You're willing to pay the price. Some of you might have waited in line on Black Friday, right? Early in the morning to get the deals that you wanted. You made sacrifice by waiting in line. Early in the morning. Likewise, you know, the Word of God, the Word of God isn't just meant to be heard. You got to wrestle with it. You got to seek it like hidden treasure. You must take the Word and store it in your heart and soak it in. Have you ever prepared for a barbecue? Anybody? Barbecue? I know Pete. Oh, whenever Pete makes food, I'm there, you know. So awesome to vacation with him too, by the way. You'll gain like 5-10 pounds in a week. Okay. But have you ever made your own marinade sauce? How long do you have to marinate it before? It takes time, right? Some takes 30 minutes, but there are some that requires you to, some recipes that requires you to marinate overnight, right? And you can't cut corners. Otherwise, it'll show. In the same way, you can't cut corners with the Word of God. As you seek the Word of God with diligence, you got to let it, you know, you got to marinate on the Word. And as you seek it, it'll slowly instill in you God's perspective and values, His principle. And you start to change little by little. God begins to shape you and form you to be more like Him. And you start living this righteous life in God. You learn to trust in God with all of your heart. And you lean not on your own understanding. You acknowledge Him in all of your ways. And God will make your path straight. A relationship with God leads to a righteous life, which is the good and blessed life. The good and blessed life is a righteous life. Now, I know that some of you might be a little disappointed by this, because you might prefer God to remove obstacles in your life if you trust in Him. You want a promise from God that you and your loved ones will never be sick again, never have health problems. Wouldn't that be great? There are some of you here, you're afraid of the future. And you wish that you have some sort of financial stability from God. And it's not that God can't do all these things. As a matter of fact, He can. He is our healer. And He blesses us in many ways and much more. But sometimes, you know, these things just don't happen. How many of you wish it would say this? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and He will make sure that you don't ever suffer again. Trust in the Lord, and He will bring a handsome-looking young man in your life you to marry. It's like, yes, God. Trust in the Lord, and you will get straight A's on your report card. Trust in the Lord, and all the bullies in your school will no longer bother you. Trust in the Lord, and He will fill in the blank. What is it? Fill in the blank. A righteous life. He will make your path straight. No. It says, trust in the Lord, and He will make your path straight. That you will live a righteous life. And that may not sound exciting to you, for some of you. A righteous life. Some people, including Christians, tease other people if they're too righteous or too holy, right? It's like, oh, you're too holy. Don't let him see you here. He'll take away all the fun. And a righteous life seems like it's kind of limiting. It limits you in a way, doesn't it? How many of you guys read it that way? It's like, trust in the Lord with all your heart and He will make your path straight. It's like, oh, man. Righteousness? What's so good about righteousness? I've seen people get pumped, excited about their football team when they win, or when they win a lottery. But righteousness, like righteousness. How many of you guys do that? It's like, yes, righteousness. He will make my path straight. What's so good about it? Well, first of all, I want to say that God is primarily interested in shaping your character. Deuteronomy 8:2 says this, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Did God test the people of Israel because he didn't know literally what was in their hearts? No, he knew. God is all-knowing. It's because he was teaching his people to walk in his ways. He was working on their character. He could have easily taken them to promised land instead of having them wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. It was so important that he had made them wander around for 40 years. What was God doing? Well, part of it, well, it had to do with their sins, but God was teaching them to trust in him with all their hearts. He was showing his people that he's the giver of life, that he is life. And he was trying to shape their character to be so that they'll become more like him. God's goal isn't always to change the circumstances that you're in. But he wants to work on your heart and shape your character. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified." It is God's will that you should be sanctified. He works in you to shape you so that you may have this right relationship with God and with one another. Amen? Yeah. I have here a picture. Center, okay. And then this. Voila. Okay, maybe this. There it is. Okay. I have your picture. Can you guess what it is? You can buy this on Amazon. Any guesses? What do you think it is? Yes. Yeah, yeah. How'd you know? You seen it? Okay, yeah. All right. So this, this is what it is. It's an ostrich pillow. Because you bury your head in there, okay? And you can put your hands in there too. I feel that this is a great gift for someone like Suzanne, Pastor John, because she travels a lot. She's in Netherlands right now. Except I could picture her using it at the airport and then getting her stuff stolen, right? But it's called an ostrich pillow. You could buy it for $99 on Amazon. That's expensive, right? It's like, what in the world? All right. This is what this is on Amazon. It says this, the mouth opening, designed so people can hear you talking in your sleep and for breathing. There's a hand opening, says ideal for going into super comfy snooze position. So this is an ostrich pillow. Behind every weird invention is the inventor, right? And whenever they make something, they design it with a purpose in mind. Why am I going over this? It's because of this. God created us. God is our creator. And he created us with a purpose in mind. So if he's the one who created us, shouldn't he know what's best for us? He wants us to live in righteousness. Isn't that what is best for us? Because he's the one who created us. He's the one who designed us with specific purpose in mind. That we are created by God and for God. And he created us to live a righteous life. He made us to have right relationship with God and with one another. And when we live this way, we experience joy and peace that transcends beyond circumstance, any circumstances. He knows what's best for us. He's the one who wants us to live and walk that straight path, path of righteousness. That's the way to live. It's the wicked that holds on to death, but the righteous attains life. Righteousness far outweighs wealth. Although it would be great if God can financially bless me too, you know. There's this man named Ignatius of Loyola. He lived 500 years ago. He was a wealthy man, and he was a womanizer. He wanted to be this great general, but on the battlefield, he was struck by a cannonball. So he got wounded in the legs. He went to, and he got multiple procedures on his legs, but it healed kind of crooked. But this man, he was so concerned. He was so concerned about it that women might not find him attractive, that he had his leg broken twice. Rebroken twice. Back then, they didn't have painkillers. That's how devoted he was. He had it broken twice to straighten it. But while he was recovering in bed, this is what he said, that he chased after the glories of this world. He dreamed about becoming this great general. He said that all these things, going after the things of this world, made him feel good for a little bit, but then it left him feeling empty on the inside. He was recovering. Something happened to him. He started studying the life of the apostles and the disciples and life of Jesus, and it really touched him. And it changed his life. And he came devoted his life to Christ. And afterwards, he realized this, that joy did not just go away. As he lived for God, he realized that joy was there with him. As he was living for God, he was no longer living in vain. Just this last week, I ran into my old student. She had to transfer out of her school, her college, because of health problems. She suddenly developed this autoimmune disease, and she could not keep up with her schoolwork, so she had to move back home. She was really sad about that. This happened a couple years ago, but she's telling me the story. And she said it was physically and emotionally hard on her, even now to this day, and she's on medication. She doesn't know how long she's going to have to take this medicine. Could be years. And it's really difficult for her. But while she was going through this, she learned to trust in the Lord with all of her heart. She said that before, when I was healthy, when I was going to this college, I wasn't happy. But now I'm happy, and I learned to be thankful for everything, not take things for granted. I drew closer to God. She now has a deeper relationship with God, and she said she's happier for that. God made her path straight, and she is living the good and blessed life. And I was really encouraged by that story that she shared with me. The good and blessed life is a righteous life. But let me tell you something. The bad news, here's the bad news, that none of us can really live that righteous life. None of us can. We cannot attain righteousness on our own, by our strength. This is different from moralistic therapeutic deism, that which I was talking about, because that's dependent on the self, on your own good works. But we are here to trust in the Lord and what he has done for us. The righteousness of God that we're to reflect comes from God. Jesus Christ, he nailed our sin to the cross. And because of that, the good news is that now he enables us to come into his presence. And he empowers us to walk the straight path of righteousness, which is the good and blessed life. Jesus' body was broken and his blood was spilled so that we can live an abundant life. The good and blessed life is a righteous life in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your sacrifice, for your body broken for us, your blood spilled for us. As we take this communion, I pray that you help us to just really understand what you've done for us. And you came so that we might have abundant life. We thank you for your grace and all that you've done for us, Lord. Help us to just trust in you and take us deeper to our relationship with you, Lord. In your name we pray, amen.